Good morning, everybody. Hey, can we just give it up for the worship team, too? Because, hey, many of you may not know this, but obviously out here on the road, so the roads were blocked, and so we had to get here a little extra early, and so the worship team, week in, week out, is always dedicated. So thank you guys for always stepping up and doing that. Well, my name is Christian, by the way. I'm one of the pastors here. It is really, really good to be with you. Praise the Lord that we are able to gather here this morning. As you know, we were supposed to get some rain, and it held off. Praise the Lord for that. And the roads are open, and so this is a good day. We are continuing through the book of Proverbs, as you guys know. Steve and Pastor Bill, they went through the first 2 weeks, specifically asking the question, what is the fear of the Lord? What does that look like? And what is godly wisdom? And as I'm going to be looking at in the book of Proverbs, what it has to say about one of the most important things that we can be doing as human beings, and that is raising children. What does God have to say about parenting? Because whether you know this or not, you are absolutely discipling your children. The question is that we need to be asking ourselves is, are we modeling what it looks like to follow Jesus? Now, you may be sitting here thinking, well, Christian, you're a young dad. How much experience do you really have? So I just want to give a few quick disclaimers before you guys boo me off the stage. And we often need to do this, especially going through the book of Proverbs. The first point is this, is that this is not everything you will need to know about parenting. Obviously, I'm going to get about 30 minutes up here, and so I really need to be selective on the topics that I choose, and so give me grace. The second point is this isn't everything Proverbs has to say about parenting. And also, there are many other books throughout Scripture that talks about parenting that I will not be able to touch on. And the third point, and I want you to hear my heart on this, I am not an expert in parenting. We're all kind of figuring this stuff out as we go, right? But we can read all the best parenting books, but if our hearts aren't changed by the gospel, then we're kind of going off of our own human, worldly wisdom, which may not always honor Christ. Now, what I will say is that it is absolutely humbling to stand up here and teach on this topic because I am reminded every single day, and my wife will probably attest to this, where I fail and I fall short as a father and as a husband, in which I am in need of God's grace and forgiveness, especially when I do wrong to my kids, acting in anger towards them, or putting my own selfish desires above their needs. And most importantly, I am in need of God's help to help them grow into godly people despite my own failures. And so again, please hear my heart. I come to you not as someone who thinks I have all of the answers, but my goal here is to help us carefully examine what it means to be faithful and obedient parents according to the Scriptures. Now, with a topic like this, there's always going to be questions of applicability. If we look around this room, not everyone is here. Not everyone here is parents, right? We have young kids, we have teenagers, and we have young adults that may not be parents yet. But the point is I don't think it's much of a stretch to say that if you follow Jesus, you will find yourself in some sort of parental or discipleship role in someone's life. In fact, you should be finding yourself in this role if you are a follower of Christ. So children, yes. Teenagers, yes. And even a lot of times adults. And this is actually at the heart of the book of Proverbs. You see, if I ask the question, who is helped by the wisdom of Proverbs, the correct answer is we all are. And we see that major sections in Proverbs are framed as wise advice given from a father to a son. We look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. Proverbs 23:19 says, my child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. And so And then in the next few verses, you see more wisdom and great advice for everyone. So no one, I don't want anybody here thinking, well, I don't have kids, so this doesn't really apply to me, because it absolutely applies to you. Part of being wise yourself is communicating wisdom to others. And we know that the home is the primary place where this happens or ought to be happening. And also, this should be happening everywhere through all of us. So let's begin with the purpose of parenting. In raising our children, what is it that we're trying to achieve? What is the goal? Now, the purpose of parenting, and many of you here may know this, is that it's the same as the mission of the church, to make disciples of Jesus, for us to teach our kids to know and love and follow Christ. That is the goal. Now, notice I did not say for them to be successful in the world's eyes, right? AKA going to the best college, university, being the best athlete, being a part of the cool, popular crowd, consuming their schedules every day of the week. Now, hear my heart. These aren't necessarily terrible things, right? It's good to want your kids to go to a good school. It's good to want your kids to be a good athlete. But I don't think that God is as concerned with some of these things. In other words, they shouldn't be the primary focus. And yet my fear is, and we're seeing it today in church, that as kids grow up in church, by the age of 18, once they are finished high school, guess what? 66% never set foot in church again. That should absolutely break your heart. 66% of kids after the age of 18 never set foot in church again. Parents, the point is that God has entrusted you to train and teach your child to know and love God, not give them a lukewarm gospel or even modeling a lukewarm faith. And so, parents, my question to you, my question to all of us, not just parents, but those who are making disciples, you consider yourself a follower of Christ. Is your life worthy of imitation? Is your life worthy of imitation? As the Apostle Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And we're going to talk much, much more about this shortly, but I want to look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, I think Pastor Bill touched on this as well. Verses 1 through 5, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, the past few weeks, Pastor Bill and Steve, they did a wonderful job explaining clearly what the fear of the Lord is. But I want to talk about what this means in this context of parenting. It means that the one whom we want our children to care most about is not pleasing you, the parent. It means that we, or not some other person, or some psychological need to be liked by others, but God. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You see, a person cannot be truly wise without fearing God. They cannot be truly wise without fearing the Lord. And so a wise parent understands that their biggest responsibility is to raise children who know, love, and follow Jesus, which means having a gospel-centered home. And oh, if it were so easy, right? We use that term gospel-centered. That's a very popular term. We hear that in the church in the last 10, 15, 20 years. So what does that mean? What does that look like in this context? We're going to talk and dive much deeper into that. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 6, probably one of the most popular verses in Proverbs about parenting. says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, this is one of the most famous verses on parenting in the entire book of Proverbs. But I just want to stop there real quick, but because some of you might be sitting here thinking or saying to yourself, you know what, I totally messed up the way I have parented with, you know, my wife or whatever, or I wish I would have known Christ the way I know him now. I wish I could just go back in time. Let me just encourage you that God's grace is far deeper than you can imagine. As long as you have breath in your lungs, it's not too late. Even if you're grandparents, you still have an opportunity. Let me also encourage you that you cannot change a person's heart. You cannot change a person's heart. Some of you might be sitting here thinking, I did everything in my power to lead my kids to the Lord, yet they still reject him. Listen, you are not the deciding factor. You are not the deciding factor whether or not your child knows the Lord. That is between them and God. Now, with that being said, it doesn't give us an excuse to just be lazy as parents, right? We need to be intentional. Our parenting needs to be saturated in prayer. Prayer that the Lord will give us wisdom and patience and love as we stumble along in our successes and in our failures, and that he would be tilling the soil in our child's hearts to cause the seeds that you planted and for them to grow. Now, many of you may know this, but I don't know if we truly understand it. Parenting and discipleship, hand in hand, they go together. It's a long game. You cannot go into it thinking, you know what, I'm going to put 2 weeks of effort in with my kids, you know, so they'll know the Lord, and then hopefully we'll see some fruit. It's the same thing with discipleship. Those who are not parents here, you can't just invest in somebody for a couple days or a week and think, all right, they got it. It is a long-term game. It might be years before you see any sort of fruit with your kids or even see that your kids have a hunger for God. And so for now, what do? We trust in prayer. We trust in the sovereignty of God, the God who loves them even more than you do. So how do we do this? How do we work hard to teach our children? Now, this probably sounds super cliche, but your kids are like sponges, right? They absorb everything that's happening at home, everything. Probably more than you'd like to realize, right? Like I said in the very beginning, whether you know this or not, you are absolutely discipling your child, but the question you need to be wrestling with is what are you making your children disciples of? Because, listen, they could just blend in with the rest of the world as non-believers. And so the first component I want to be looking at of what a gospel-centered home looks like is that you teach your children by example. Meaning, parents, it starts with us. It starts with us. Are we walking in wisdom? Which, remember, that means that the fear of the Lord is manifested in your faithful walk with Jesus. Because if you're not, you cannot expect your kids to. Let me say that again. If you're not, you cannot expect your kids to follow Christ. Check out Proverbs 20, verse 7. It says, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Integrity, I like that word. What does that say? What does it mean? What is integrity? That it's all about what we do, right? When no one's looking. But in this case, that's not necessarily true. Because guess what, parents? Your kids, those little eyes are watching your every move. Every move they're observing, processing, learning, everything you do, from the kind of person you are towards your wife, your husband, towards strangers, towards those who may not know Christ, the least of these, how you respond to situations when things don't go your way, gossiping about others in front of your kids. Let me ask you something on a very, very serious note. Are your children seeing parents whose lives reflect what they confess with their lips on Sunday morning? Are your children seeing parents whose lives reflect what they confess with their lips on Sunday morning? Because again, if your faith isn't genuine and being modeled at home, you can't expect your kids to know Christ. And so, here's a list. Do you have healthy rhythms at home? Is the Lord a big topic of discussion? Are you modeling prayer to your kids? What about diving into the Word of God with them? Or do they see the contrary, where they see us as parents constantly scrolling through our phones, constantly consuming social media garbage, constantly consuming mainstream media garbage, or do they see us consuming the Word of God? Now, hear my heart, parents. All that list that I just gave you, we don't do this to check the box, okay? While it's good to do what's right, it's better to delight in doing what's right. There's a very big difference there. To do things is just checking the box, but also doing things out of delight, out of joy. And so that's because if you are just going through the motions, then you are convinced that joy is to be found elsewhere. And then what that means is that all you are is a ticking time bomb. And so now here is the challenge. If a child is watching your example, does he see someone who is modeling obedience to God's command, but a delight in the relationship with the Lord? And the reason this is so hard is the only way to do this is for you, the parent, and not just parents, again, those who are making disciples. Do they see you have an authentic relationship with Jesus? Because you cannot fake it at home, or not for long. Everything is amplified there. I think everybody would agree with me me on that. You see, I could be a ball of frustration, of anger, bitterness, laziness, and then walk here into this room holding a microphone and be a complete hypocrite. Why? Because I only have a short amount of time with you. But at home, you can't do it. People you live with, they see who you really are. They see the good, they see the bad, and they see the ugly. And so the only way to really lead them by example is authentically being the person you are leading them to be. And so if you want that for them, it must be true for you. I met a guy named Lee Wood. Bill introduced me to him back in March. And I'll never forget this quote he shared with me, and it always has stuck with me. He says, "Christian, you can't attain what you don't possess." Let me say that again. You can't attain what you don't possess. And so if you, the parent, or you, the disciple maker, are not walking in wisdom, godly wisdom, fearing the Lord, you can't expect your kids to. It's that simple. It is that simple. As a student pastor here at Revolve, I cannot stress the importance of faithfully pouring into your kids, going to the Word of God with them, asking the Lord for wisdom in every area of their lives, having open communications about struggles, anxiety, relationships, whatever the case may be, because the world is constantly shouting lies to them. Notice, I did not say whispering. The world is constantly shouting lies to your kids, because right now, guess what? It's in their faces. It's right on their phones. It's right on their TV screen. So parents, are you standing idle, or are you fighting against it? Because I believe that Satan absolutely wants to deceive and devour your kids. And you might be sitting here looking at me thinking, "Christian, you're getting a little too intense." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this. It says, "Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And so parents, are you being sober-minded? Are you being watchful over your kids whom God has entrusted you to care for. That now, that doesn't mean to breathe down their neck every hour of every day, right? But hear me out on this. Satan wants you to believe that your kids are just the greatest kids of all, and that they would never entertain pornography, drug use, alcohol, bullying, get in fights. The list can go on. You see, secular music, social media, cell phones, YouTube, our culture right now is programming your kids. Right now, our culture is programming your kids. You cannot expect your kids to come here for 1 hour a week and not engage in the Word of God with them, and them constantly consuming things of this world, and for them to know Christ. It doesn't make sense. Now, what did Jesus pray right before he was led and captured? What did he pray? It wasn't, and now it's not just in John 17, it's not just unity between all believers. There's one more thing that he prayed for, and I've always overlooked this until I read it again just this past week. Jesus says, I do not, and this is Jesus praying to God the Father. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Did you guys hear that? But that you keep them from the evil one. Jesus knows that Satan is looking to devour us. And so, parents, are you watchful and are you standing guard? The second point, which I'm not so excited to touch on because I'm probably going to get some ugly looks here very shortly, is teaching through discipline. Now, before you tell me, don't tell me how to discipline my kids, that's not my goal here. My goal is not to stand up here and tell you how to discipline your kids. I simply want to take you through what Scripture teaches on discipline now, and not what me or the elders think. Now, discipline, it can be a very nasty word. And one of the reasons for that is that there can be many terrible examples of discipline. For example, heavy-handed parents who physically hurt their children out of anger. Punishment for breaking rules that were never clearly established in the first place. Parents acting out of frustration because their children don't always do what they want them to do. But discipline is actually a really, really good thing. And it's absolutely biblical. Discipline is absolutely biblical. And when we do it well, we are modeling how God is with us. And the reason I say that is look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." And now remember, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it clarifies that discipline is how we know that God loves us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 then says that, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Now, when you love someone, you do what is reasonable to correct when they are walking in foolishness. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you see a brother or sister walking in sin, do you stay quiet? Or do you love them enough to call them out as they are walking in foolishness? And listen, it is so uncomfortable. But man, it is so rewarding when it is responded out of, or when the person sees it coming from love and a mind of humility. There's beauty from it. Now, I want to also look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. It says, "Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death." Did you catch that at the end? Did you catch that at the end? Listen to what it's saying. It says, not disciplining your children can lead them to death. Now, discipline does come a lot in a lot of forms, and It's wrong to think that it just comes in the form as punishment. Whether it's walking them through how to reconcile when they have maybe done wrong to someone, teaching them to be responsible through their own actions, taking them through the Word of God on what it means to be humble and not a prideful man or woman. Again, it's not just taking things away or punishing them for an extended period of time, but we know that parental discipline is done out of love, which is ultimately meant to point your children to Jesus. And so let's recap here. In order to have a gospel-centered home, there were two things I touched on. We touched on teaching them by example and by godly discipline. Now, the last point I want to touch on, because I think we're getting close to time, the last thing I want to touch on is legalism. And it's really important how we define this. What is legalism? Because we are trying to raise little disciples, not little Pharisees. And we are missing the mark if what we communicate to our kids is legalism, right? That the path to happiness is just rule-keeping and moral performance. Or, for example, my kids thinking, well, I'm doing all the Christian things. We said our prayer at night. We're going to church on Sunday. But that, man, that doesn't equal salvation. The goal is to build children up into faithful followers of Jesus who, what? Delight to please the Lord. Delight. That is so key. Now, one thing we should not be communicating to our kids is that we are perfect. Now, let me ask you something as parents, and I know many of you in this room, and I know many of you do this, but do you say sorry to your kids? Do you ask for your kids' forgiveness? Are you modeling humility to your kids? Because, and I should probably be doing this more, but there are times when I need to get on my knees at eye level with my kids and apologize to them for yelling and acting out of anger, right? And it's over something so ridiculous, whether it's their room being messy or them accidentally breaking something. I cannot tell you what a long way that goes, seeking for their forgiveness, what an impact that makes. When your kids see that you are weak and that you fail at times and that you are in need of a Savior, it defeats that legalist mindset. And another way to defeat this legalist mindset is for our kids to understand that they need to wrestle through their own salvation. Like I was saying earlier, that no matter how good we think our kids may be, they are in desperate need of a Savior. And they didn't inherit salvation by growing up in a Christian home or just because they may attend church every Sunday or even if they're on the serve team or attend student ministry. That does not mean salvation. In the book of Genesis, we see that we as humans have inherited Adam's sin. No matter how good we think our kids may be, they are in desperate need of a Savior. And we see that a biblical response to the gospel is what leads us to salvation. And we see this all throughout the New Testament where they repent of their sin and placing their faith in Christ alone. And so I cannot stress the importance of modeling to our children on how we respond to the gospel. And so if you don't have healthy rhythms at home, please start now. It is not too late. It is not too late. I don't say this for you to walk in fear, but man, Satan wants to deceive and devour your kids. I'm not kidding when I say that. Parents, we must be sober-minded and we must be watchful. You know, I talk to many parents here in this room, some may already be moved out and they still may not know the Lord. I really just want, again, feel led to encourage you that you are not meant to carry that guilt or shame. Those who are in Christ no longer walk in condemnation. Okay? What Jesus did on the cross is enough. And I also want to encourage all of you here that as we continue to go through this sermon series, to read through the book of Proverbs, pray through some of these passages that God is putting right in front of you. And to the young parents in this room and disciple makers, again, this isn't just for parents. I want those who are disciple makers to understand that you must be intentional. You must be intentional. Your life must be worthy of imitation. You can't attain what you don't possess. And so, young parents in this room, God has entrusted your children to you to love them, to lead them, and to point them to Christ. It is the greatest calling you will ever have on your life. It is the greatest calling.